from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is The Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net bonus podcast. My name is Jacob Forter.
And I'm Jeffrey Jones.
Yes, Jeffrey Jones is back.
I'm back.
And he's back for the fans, the real fans, the people that put the money down and say, Jacob, we can't get enough of you. Here's some money.
Yes, and
I like money.
I make you money.
So very little money. I'd give you some if I had more. I really would.
That's awesome.
I really would.
Just,
I mean,
keep linking to my website when you put my name on it.
Absolutely. Well,
and I promise there'll be content. At some point when someone clicks on that link, there'll be something on that site.
That's a guarantee.
That's the Jones guarantee.
No offense, buddy. But I'm still on the fence about the Jones guarantee there of content. Huh?
Dude, do you know how fucking... it's because I have to go back to Twitter, and I don't want to go back to Twitter.
You got to.
I know, it's just...
I dropped Twitter a little while ago, and yeah. I have been trying to play catch-up.
I know,
no
that's
one
the
is
problem.
Tweeting what I'm talking about.
That's the problem. It's like, I've missed so fucking much. I missed there was the Prop 8 things. There's all sorts of crazy gay news, whatever. I'm sure everybody knows about the website.
You're completely out of touch.
I totally am. I've become the apathetic gay guy that I scold everybody else about being.
Can you remind me then, what is the purpose of you if you're not informed? Where's the gay opinion?
What is the purpose of me?
What is the purpose of you?
I serve no purpose.
No, none at all.
I serve only Zool.
You have no purpose without knowledge. No knowledge means no purpose.
I have to go kill myself.
If you do so, please only after the show.
I'm going to fatwa myself.
Now, speaking of fatwas, I guess
I figured that would be, well, it's kind of a segue.
It's a good enough segue. We were watching the South Park episode that aired, the part two of the 200th episode spectaculaire that. Yes. South Park decided to put on. Now, if you're not aware of what was going on, they basically did kind of a mashup show. Now, it's not a clip show. What they did was they tried to bring back as many people from every single season as they possibly could.
Yeah.
And then just tried to tie that around a Muhammad controversy.
Exactly. It's funny because I'm not a regular, like the only time I watch South Park is when I'm coming over to visit or play video games or podcasts or whatever. I don't watch them at home, so half of the stuff just goes over my head. Like, not goes over my head, but it's like, oh, you're like, oh, that guy. I'm like, yeah, that guy. I remember hearing about him.
I remember hearing his name.
Exactly.
That's not a really
That's
good
exactly.
memory.
Like, do they still kill Kenny in every episode?
No,
they stopped doing that like 10 years ago.
Yeah, a while ago. I had actually stopped watching South Park after... I originally watched maybe the first two seasons, and then I just totally lost interest.
And then it got political, and I was like, yeah.
And then it got good. Yeah. Then it got seriously good. Then they started making fun of people. That's when it really... And doing it well. Like before, I found that when they were making fun of people, it was almost just too ridiculous. Which is why when they go back and they bring some of the other characters from older seasons, it looks out of place. You're like, what exactly are they?
You don't belong in this universe.
There's less kind of pop culture reference. But what's ironic about that is that they were producing more pop culture back then.
Yeah.
But now they're actually sort of like. Parodying pop culture, the kind of very pop culture that they used to create. So they're more interesting doing that than creating their own pop culture, in my opinion.
I would agree.
I like them as social commentators and general goof-em-abouts. This is my word.
goof-em-abouts. I like goof-em-abouts. That should go on a t-shirt.
Pop right in my head. Goof-em-abouts.
I like it.
Now, the episode in question, like we said, featured Muhammad. Now, luckily, that we will not be censoring that word, but there was a lot of talk about the fact that the South Park creators had been threatened quite openly by a group. I talked about them last podcast, RevolutionMuslim.com. I tried putting up a link, but their site is periodically down just because
I'm wondering
they're being
if they fucking,
viewed so often, and obviously they're not used to that the eye of the internet.
They're not used to people paying attention to their craziness.
Well, you know, if I had that many people paying attention, my servers would probably crash too. So
you know,
sometimes you don't want the eye of the internet on you. You want that eye to come slowly so that you can
prep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're not ready for that overnight internet stardom. Nobody is.
Nope.
Just ask the Star Wars kid. Not doing so good.
He said he's not doing so good.
Well, he did get his money for being an internet star by suing the kids who put up the video.
That's nice.
Isn't that nice?
Isn't he from Montreal?
He is.
Wow.
He's a French Canadian.
I apologize.
On behalf of other French Canadians, my apologies.
Yeah, I'm an English Canadian, but I can still
English.
I speak as a Hanglish.
Whatever. You know what? I really don't think anybody from other countries that listen to the show will make that much a distinction. As far as I'm concerned, you speak a slightly different language.
There you go. I can't believe we brought
and
up...
And we're worldly, baby. Being listened to in...
Worldwide.
We're probably being listened to in about 60 countries.
I like it. Hi, countries.
60... Broadcast in 60 countries.
60 countries.
I don't think I can... Maybe I'm going to say that as my new pitch. You know, doesn't matter that there's two people, say, in Portugal.
It's still true.
Listening.
It's still true. I think you should preface it with potentially. Like, potentially broadcast in 60 countries.
No, it is.
Hypothetically.
It could very well be. The technology exists.
The technology exists for it to be broadcast worldwide.
Okay, back to the Muhammad thing. Now, they received the threats. So did Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm.
And... then there was part two. So part two generated a lot of buzz.
Right.
People were saying, like, what's going to happen? What are they going to do? Are they going to show Muhammad because he was in a bear suit at the end of part one?
Yeah.
So we just finished watching it. And I want to know what your opinion of it just going in. If you haven't watched it, please, this is a spoiler moment here. Or if you don't care enough...
Yeah, we're going to talk about it.
We're going to be talking about it.
Well,
so.
Particularly the Muhammad parts.
We got no choice. Hey, welcome to the bonus show.
Hey, welcome.
Hey, forget about it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, no, I actually, when I first found out about it, I didn't think, I thought, oh, fuck, that's annoying. You know, it's annoying, and you do the eye roll, but then I was watching the episode, and every time they censored it, it was like a little dagger in my heart. I was like, fucking guys, like, you fucking caved every time.
They caved. They caved hard that it was difficult to know where the South Park creators were actually being ironic or when they were really being censored.
Yeah.
Including the last speech.
That's what I'd like to find out. For those of you who have watched it, that last speech, like, there's this whole speech, you know, like, I learned something really awesome today, and then they beep the whole thing. Now,
it's probably about 30... to 40 solid seconds
it's
of
fucking
beeping.
Made my ear. I thought I had tinnitus.
It was painful, all right? This
it was.
Job is hazardous.
It is.
Jeff almost lost his hearing.
I almost lost my hearing, and I had to have flat Dr. Pepper.
The flattest.
Yeah, this has been in your fridge for like 2 weeks.
Whatever, man. I can't believe you drank it.
It's sugar.
The only reason I kept it in there, seriously, was probably like Jeff would be desperate enough to drink this, and it's the least I can do. Because literally it is.
So yeah, getting back to
I'm the nicest
you're,
man.
He's my best friend ever.
I'm a good host.
I love you.
All right.
Wow, I just offended a lot of people. All right, censor that. Anyways, getting back to the last part of the episode. I mean, I'm guessing that it was Trey and Matt that were trying to like making a point, but I'm wondering if they censored it after they realized Comedy Central was going to be putting all these bleeps in, so it was like this final, like, okay, well, we're just going to censor everything because obviously no one's going to learn anything.
Well, the decision-making process in most episodes, it takes them 3 days to make an episode.
Right.
That's their creative process. So
right.
In that time, it's going to go through lots of different revisions. Nothing you watch, movie or show, is, you know...
Right, on the first, like...
Exactly. Yeah. There's lots of probably different versions of stuff. That's why it's always great to watch... director's cuts or
yep.
different cuts of movies
or commentaries I find for like TV shows and you find out cool
there's a
stuff.
There's a Quentin Tarantino cut of the movie True Romance which was not quite as good as the actual Tony Scott cut. But you know what, the honest truth is, when I thought about that, this is just a tangent about a Tarantino film, but when I thought about that, whether or not the Tarantino cut, why would it be inferior to it? And then you're remembering, well, it's only working with the filming that you got left.
Right.
You didn't necessarily control it from the beginning, so you're just controlling
right.
the the way the scenes are put together, but you're not controlling anything about the scenes, and that is the difference.
Well, that's more he's an editor than a director.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the Quentin Tarantino edit.
There you go.
Not really the same. Yeah. Not really the same. But, so his best script, he doesn't get to direct it. Oh, well. History plays out.
There you go.
So, they bleeped the last part of it. Although, if you want to be honest, I think what they were trying to go with it, because I do think they probably had a monologue, and I learned something. And I think the lesson they learned, and it's obvious by the end of it, is that the only way you have to continue to make fun of things, and that's all there is to it.
Right.
No one should be immune to it. That's the obvious message here. But they couldn't deliver through with that message. I think what's fascinating about this episode, and if we talk about a show and we talk about a significant moment in television history, I hope we talk about this moment. Because at this moment, it's using the censorship as part of the satire where you can't even tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And it is all satire. That's what happens with this episode. For me, it transcends the issue. It is a fucking perfect rendition of what the hell is wrong with the fact that, you know, people go crazy over this whole Muhammad thing, and it's just got to stop.
It's driving me up a fucking wall. It's going to make me racist. It's going to make me fucking racist.
You don't want that. You don't want
I don't want to be racist, but I'm so sick of, like, turning on the TV and going, what are those crazy Muslims up to today? And then I'm like, did you just say crazy Muslims? And then it's like, you know, 20 crazy Muslims that issued a death threat. I'm like, fucking hell.
Well, it's frustrating. It's the same kind of way that there are probably lots of people out there that love individual Americans and hate America.
Yeah.
You can hate something that the clan that someone associates with without hating that person.
Exactly. It's honestly
the classic story of Romeo and Juliet. This clanism tears humanity apart.
Am I working with Jean Renault?
It's my French existentialist.
Oh, I got it. Okay. Yeah. You didn't.
My French nihilist.
You need a beret and like a striped.
Life is nothing but suffering. You didn't know that I had a French nihilist counterpart?
I did not know.
Yeah, runs through my blood. Wow. My blood!
As long as you don't have ginger in your blood. As long as you're not a ginger kid.
Is there anything else we want to say about the episode?
No, watch the episode and. Fuck Islam, grow like a fucking tougher skin.
Here's the basic problem that I think that we're having conceptually. The what I would describe as the major churches, the major institutions or organizations, where they're located, how they run themselves, are very similar to the way that other religious institutions used to do it up until really fucking recently. You know, we haven't even known about the relative size of this universe for more than 80 years. Okay? 80 years ago, we just thought that the universe was the size of this galaxy. And I mean, it's a big galaxy, but
it's like a
fucking grain of sand.
Thank you. It's like
in a gigantic,
in
all
in
the
desert.
Beaches of the earth, there's still, there's still fewer grains of sand than there are possible worlds out there.
There's a homeopathy reference we could make right there.
No, I don't want to use it.
But it would have been nice.
Let's not. Don't force me to.
Talk about your little fucking. Fuck
but my
you.
Point is, we tend to have this very myopic view of history. So this is something that, like our times now, the way that we live our lives now is somehow the same way that. Our forefathers lived. Holy shit, no.
Yeah.
This is a really relatively new experiment that we're trying here a radical experiment in human ethics. A brand new experiment. And so far, I would say that it is a success. We see the failure-like counterparts in the Middle East. We see these failed states. We see these injustices. We see these barbaric, savage, misogynistic, sexist...
Yeah,
racist, bigoted, all of that.
You name it,
they have it. We see that all because that is a reflection of time in our history, and we have to move beyond this time.
I guess I'll take instead of growing a tougher skin. I think my message would be catch up with the rest of the world because the sooner you do, the better for everybody. Honestly,
well.
It's a tall order, but...
It's a tall order, are we so base as to try to do the same things that they would issue threats, you know, to our person, be like, I'm going to kill you if you disparage against my beliefs. I mean, how often are we described as criminals or bandits or what have you?
I want to be a bandit.
You want to be an... You're an ass bandit. That's what you are.
An ass?
You just asked for it, all right?
All right.
I want to be a bandit. You come on my show and you say that. What do you think is going to happen? Huh?
All right, fine. I'll let you get away with this one.
Oh, well, if people want to not, they know where to send mail to. There's a little email address. If you don't like what I say, you can email me.
Exactly, but...
So far, I have actually, in my history, never received any...
Have you gotten no hate mail?
None.
Wow. I need to work on that.
I don't generally invite it, even though... I mean, most of the times, the worst that I'll get is just somebody to say, you're a complete idiot, and I can accept that.
Yeah.
I'm like, sure, think that if you want. I don't care. Your opinion doesn't matter to me. Ta-da! What a surprise.
I'm so embarrassed, anonymous internet voice.
Exactly. You're off somewhere in the ether there.
Yeah.
With your disapproval of me somehow.
He's casting a glance from somewhere.
It's like, thank you for taking a moment of your time to tell me that you didn't approve of what I said. It is a very fascinating idea if you think about it.
Yeah.
We almost find the need to do these things once in a while. I'm sure you've done that and I've done that in the past.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
Reach your invisible hand out there in the internet and said something.
I'm here. I corrected a Wikipedia entry on Alundra the other day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Another video game reference. Speaking of that, this is a perfect segue.
I'm Johnny's segue today.
Perfect segue. I wanted to talk something. It's not necessarily religion related. So all of you guys that don't like video games, because I know that there's a certain contingency, people that don't, you might get a little bit bored. But I suggest you tough through it because there's something interesting to be.
There's
a point to be made. It begins with an article that Roger Ebert wrote recently where he said that video games were not art. Now, the reason that there's two reasons why I want to mention this, and the first one is because, well, I'm a gamer, and I somehow feel the need to defend that position. Number two, PZ Myers also talked about it on his blog, and that's all the atheism-related news I need to transition
that's
into
That's how
it.
It's connected.
That's how it's connected.
PZ Myers.
Now, there's a lot to say about this, but I'm going to try to make it really relatively short. The first thing I want to just address is what PZ Myers had said, that he feels that looking at other people game is boring, and therefore that it's more akin to, say, a sport, and this is the same argument that Roger Ebert was putting through, it's more akin to a sport and that kind of activity than it is akin to art. I thought it was very strange that a person like Roger Ebert would make a comment on an art form that he's really not very experienced
in. His element? Yeah.
He's completely out of his element. I almost wonder, hey, Roger Ebert, did you ever have to sit down with your dad and tell him that, you know, moving pictures were going to be the future?
But dad, movies are art. It's not in a museum, son.
But you know what? Back when movies first came out, I'm sure that some of the early critiques of it were probably saying, well, look, this is just... Rather than, it would be like the same critique of photography compared to paintings, where you're saying there's no artistic merit in photography because all you're doing is using technology to capture an image that's already there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure most of you have seen photographs where you would strongly disagree with that retarded opinion.
Hells yes.
I'm like, you know what? We have to stop thinking of technology as something that's mechanical. All right, yeah. A paint brush with paint. These are technologies, okay?
Yeah.
You think paint just happens in nature?
Well, that's what was it? It's like, do you think that it, like, a classic example is like, do you think if, like, Da Vinci had access to Photoshop, he wouldn't have used it? Like,
yeah, I'm pretty
you
sure
know, I'm pretty sure he would have.
Look at the. Here's another example. Call of Duty 2, they had, I think, Hans Zimmer do the score. Now, Hans Zimmer, I think, I'm not sure if he won any awards, and I'm too lazy to look at that, but definitely he's a big deal composer, okay? He's a big enough deal that in the game, you can't even silence the music. You cannot mute the music, or you cannot play your own music.
Is this Call of Duty, the one that just came out?
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Okay, Modern Warfare 2.
So when you're playing the campaign,
right.
And there's a bridge that gets blown apart, and Hans Zimmer's sort of like blaring the "America was attacked," you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. He won Grammys for Lion King.
All right, he won Grammys and that kind of stuff. So there's no doubt that the man is an artist,
yeah,
and that the things that he creates are works of art. And lots of other video games have soundtracks, have other... I'm not even going to go into all the elements of what makes a video game possible.
Yeah, to distill it into a game as like a... Not to discount sports, but there's way... Like, there is a shitload more going on in a video game than in a game of basketball.
I think, well...
I mean, it's
actually,
it's,
let's,
granted,
let's make a comparison. Let's compare the sport of basketball with a basketball game.
Okay.
Just for shits and giggles. Now, you could say, well, all right, there's a certain amount of technical ability that needs to be put into the work, the design of the
Are we talking the video
game? Stage? No, we're just talking about basketball.
Okay.
The basketball stage, the net, the netting, the ball itself.
Right.
Okay, so it has its own technological aspect. But mm-hmm. a video game is trying to recreate mm-hmm. that reality from nothing more than data.
Yep.
And think about it this way. You ever see a marionette show?
Yeah.
The players in an NBA game are marionettes. They're marionettes that are attempting to look human. So their movement
We're
is
talking
a type
a video
of,
game at
yeah,
this point.
A video
okay.
game. I hope
I'm
so.
Getting,
I hope so. Are you really that confused?
Well, you just keep referring to it as a basketball game, so I'm like...
Well, I said the basketball game. Okay. All right, I admit that.
We need
the
to
basketball
have like a
video game.
Okay.
So these are marionettes that are essentially trying to mimic human behavior. And
okay.
that may seem easy to a person who really doesn't understand the technology mm-hmm. behind the thing.
It's not just actors. It's like animation.
It is absolutely like animation. Yeah. It would be like saying that the movie Up has no merit because the characters are not real.
Right.
They are generated by a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And
trees were just taken from... You know, actual tree images. Like people used. You know, they actually looked at a dog when they drew that dog.
And I think the other really weak argument that yeah. Ebert presents is this idea that because games are inherently built with a system of reward,
right.
that's what makes them a sport rather than an art. So for them, I think, and this is weird too, because a movie is built along the same lines as a game. It taps into a reward system, so it taps into your ability to empathize with other people.
Mm-hmm.
You live vicariously through these characters. It speaks to you. It tries mm-hmm. to emote to you. These are experiential. These are happening while the movie is playing. While this light is bouncing off a wall. Like
23 pictures are flashing at you for a second.
Meanwhile, something amazing has happened. A work of art is
reeling out before you.
Exactly. And now the P.Z. Meyer's argument, which was actually much weaker than even Ebert's, was that they're generally boring, and therefore nobody likes to see anybody else play video games, which is patently untrue.
Yeah.
But also because they seem gross and vulgar in their gameplay, like say, oh, well, you're just shooting people, or you're just going around beating people up, or so on and so forth.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it's true that it does tap into the reward mechanism, but I would call it video games more of a performance art if I was to compare it to an art. So you can have, you know, a performance art can be often described as boring.
Hell yes.
Yeah, there's lots of people who be like, what the fuck is the point of this?
I'm getting dragged to this fucking interpretive dance.
Exactly.
What the fuck?
I feel that way over interpretive dance. It's one of the few art forms that I say, fuck this. You cannot
I can't get into it.
Drag me to interpretive dance thing.
I'm not gay enough to enjoy interpretive dance.
Man.
I can get away with that.
I wish but I could say that.
There you go. You just have to be an ass bend. But it seems ridiculous to say that because someone could find it boring, it's not art. It just granted some like okay, I'll give you maybe Pong isn't very artistic, but I mean we've transcended that. I mean think of it in a way. This is super geeky, but like in a way, like in terms of RPGs or action games, you're kind of a director. Like you control, you tell your actor where to
go.
Well,
you're making the story happen the way you wanted to make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yes, there's a set, you know, whatever.
I think that's part of the problem that they don't see as art because you are doing that. But their critique of it, if I turn their critique around and saying, well, a book is far too linear. So what is the value of that? It has an ending that's always going to be the same.
And I don't want to I don't like watching you read.
It's absolutely boring.
It's very boring.
It's very, very boring. And it's weird, too, because I think that a good art is something that can make you relate to people, make you emote with them. That's why something like Up, a movie with digital characters, but right. cartoon versions, is so interesting because you do form a connection mm-hmm. with those people. I mean, that was a tearjerker fucking movie, and meanwhile, they don't look like people.
They're fucking crazy little squarehead man.
With weird glasses.
With weird glasses.
And flesh tones that cannot exist in normal...
weird surreal lighting.
Yeah, and weird surreal lighting. But at the same time, I mean, that's how you judge it. Now, the problem is that these old fogies, and I will call them old fogies in a playful kind of manner.
There was an old man.
I'm talking about Roger Ebert. I know. PZ Meyer,
he kind of looks like him.
Roger Ebert definitely looks like the guy from Up. I call them old fogies in a playful way, just because there's always going to be there's a technological limit.
Yeah.
That say you and I are going to reach one day, and we're like, we can't do it. Remember?
Kids and their music.
No, I think that one potential branch off might actually be 3D. Now, 3D is a gimmick, at least the way that the old school movie makers see it. So you got like the guy from Batman, Christopher Nolan, says no to 3D.
Yeah.
But a whole bunch of other people are going in the direction of 3D because that's appealing more to the young market.
Right.
So we may see movies coming out that are for 3D only and don't work in 2D. We could see a split right there, and we could be part of that old school saying 3D sucks and I don't want no part of it, and it's not art because it's terrible. Maybe that's our
anything that makes
point.
You have to wear colored saran wrap over your eyeballs.
And you know, and here's the nugget of why you should be listening to this, even if you don't care about video games or movies the way we do, is that I think this is precisely the reason why old people get old and they have to die. It's just because
they stop evolving.
You really do.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen to you if you get old. If you're already old, it already has happened to you. Yeah. I can even probably tell you why I think that is. You want to know why I think that is?
Go for it.
Okay. Let's just talk about the way that part of your brain functions, your visual cortex, okay?
Sure.
And how you process images.
Yes.
So when you walk into a room, most of the image processing that you are using is down to a minimum. You've already remembered where everything is, and you're only partially producing them in your brain. So if I were to scan your brain and see how much activity there was, mm-hmm. it'd be very low. But if I were to remove an important piece of furniture from there, all of a sudden there'd be a huge spike
right. In
your visual cortex, because now you have to focus and you have to look at what the hell's going on.
Reevaluate it entirely kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So your brain is predisposed to trying to do the minimum.
<That's> Our brain is lazy.
Brain is very lazy. And I think that over time, it just gets more and more so. And even to the point where you may no longer even be thinking about, and refining your ideas. You might just sort of like be like, this is what I believe. And I literally do not want to spend energy thinking about this. Because it does. That is exactly what happens. You think it requires energy. And there are people that are jumping off that bandwagon all the time. They're like, it's too much effort. And you might just laugh because we view effort as in the physical
work.
No,
I'm just thinking of all the times I've caught myself doing that very thing. I'm like, you should watch this documentary on whatever. I'm like, I don't want to. Like,
he doesn't want to think.
I don't. Well, it's like, you know, I already know what my position is on evolution. I don't need to watch another documentary, even if it's a really cool documentary. I'm done.
It might completely
and then I got to eat my words.
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. We as we age, I think it's more difficult. I'm not saying it's impossible. I mean, there's definitely
there are grandmothers using microwaves,
and computers and stuff like that, and,
no,
and plenty of people that are not allowing their brains to atrophy, basically. But I would definitely say that as a rule, people let their brains atrophy, and it gets worse. Mm. It gets worse. So luckily, Mother Nature has devised a way to make sure that things stay fresh
by killing you,
by murdering you. Mother Nature is going to murder your ass.
That's a T-shirt.
Technically, here's the truth. From biological perspective, there should be no reason why you do age and die.
Right.
technically you are constantly refreshing yourself.
Well, that isn't it just the cells to, just stop? Forever.
Well, what they believe is that there's a certain amount of times that your cell is programmed.
Oh, okay. It's like how many times you can dub a tape before you just can't have the sound.
Well, no, not really, because the fidelity of DNA is so good, so good that it shouldn't even matter.
Okay, so it doesn't degrade or anything.
No, and even if there are problems in the copying, all of that stuff in the middle of your DNA, like all the stuff that you would consider junk DNA, is just basically it gets lost amongst that, has no influence or impact whatsoever. See, it's not individual genes that make you who you are; it's their interaction. I mean, if you thought about it, a chimpanzee has actually one more set of chromosomes than you do. And the reason
You're
why that is because...
Are better than me?
Yeah, pretty much. See, what see, what happened is that one of our chromosomes fused. Oh. So two became one. And that's why we have fewer chromosomes than chimpanzees. But it does seem to make quite a bit of a difference, doesn't it? In certain aspects. So... You have to look at it as how the information works all together. So no, there really is no other reason than the fact that that cell, due to probably some chemical that we'll isolate in the near future, unfortunately, which will make it so that we no longer have this. The cell is no longer programmed to die and can replicate for as long as you know.
As long as you can pay for it.
As long as the whole entity remains intact enough to allow that to happen. Like you could still fall off a building and die.
Yeah, you just won't die of old age.
Right.
So but you can still be murdered.
But Mother Nature so far is more clever and will murder you. You will be murdered. But perhaps not in our lifetime, but after us, we may be the last aging generation. And that's something to think about.
I don't want
to
think about that.
Yeah, it could be fucked up. Yeah. It could be pretty damn fucked up. Next thing you know, we're still there going around saying 3DA is shit. Holding back that technology.
Fuck, I gotta go watch Coraline when I get home.
All right, there you go.
Because it's 3D.
Yeah. There's a non-3D version of it, too. You know?
I know, I have it.
I don't like the 3D version. I'm actually one of those fuddy-duddies that says that the compromise of 3D right now is clarity, and I hate that.
Yeah, I'm the same way, actually. Like, I watched it, and every once in a while I was like, wow, this is really cool, but everything is kind of blue-green.
Giving me a fucking headache.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
But, you know, maybe to an old person, a video game gives them a headache. I don't know.
Fashion
I'm not old
curse!
Yet, but it's going to happen. And until then, I'm going to continue to... dread the possibility. No offense
gotta
to all.
Rag on 3D till I die.
I'm gonna rag on it. I won't let it die. I'm gonna fight it tooth and nail like people were fighting records. That's what I'm gonna be fighting.
Why won't Dad take his 8-track out of the car?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, you know what? I think we're gonna wrap it up now. Enough of my musings on old age and what have you.
And video games and murder.
And nature murder. But I would like to... But I want to thank everybody who is a contributing member. Your support makes this possible. A word out to any of you out there that are interested in this. I recently put up the lecture that I gave at the University of North Carolina. If you listen to this show and you are thinking to yourself, I would like to have someone come and speak at my event... book my ass.
He also does weddings and bar mitzvahs.
I really wish I could. I had originally wanted to be sort of like a...
Didn't you? The unchurched thing?
Well, an atheist minister, if you want, that could perform weddings. It's still possible that you still can do that, in Canada at least, if you give notice to many months beforehand. But you could. I've always dreamed of officiating at a wedding for shiz. For an
That'd
atheist
be awesome.
Wedding?
Fuck,
it would be...
A
it would
gay
be
atheist wedding.
Hell's yes. Yeah. If I'm going to have a first one, it should probably be.
There you go. So if I ever get married, I'll have you marry me and whoever it happens to be.
That sounds really exciting. Okay, but enough about that weird service. back to thanking patrons for being members. This is show number 50. There is no Trombador and other sounds to celebrate this. Sorry.
I clapped.
You clapped. But I like to celebrate... bigger numbers. 100 is going to be a big celebration. We're getting close to that, actually, in the regular
podcast.
Watching
your 80s now?
We just cracked 90.
Shit.
So nice. 10 more to go.
Fuck.
Well, pretty much when the 1 year comes up, So everybody who wonders, how many shows are you producing a year? Well, it hasn't quite been a year for that people have been members, and there's been 50 podcasts. That's... So I think you can appreciate the fact that, hey, so far Jacob has delivered on his first year of of doing this stuff. So it's not going to be 52 because fuck y'all, I like some time off. But otherwise,
I get a vacation.
I get vacations.
Whatever.
Even lazy guys like me get vacations. Did you ever watch The Big Lebowski?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay, with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Jeffrey Jones.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.
Cheers.
All right, let me get in position.
Yeah, me too. Friggin' pants are bunching up. The weather.
It's getting tight in the pants.
It's getting tight. All this talk about Muhammad is making me tight in the pants.
Careful, Jeff. We might just get murdered.
Is that actually going in?
No.
That would be awesome. You should fucking put that in.
I'll put that at the end.
It'll be the little Easter egg.
It's the Easter egg at the end.
All right, there it is.